Father, we thank you for your word, and Father, we know that we don't know everything there is to know about growing up, but you do, and the Holy Spirit does, and we ask that you just anoint this time today, anoint our ears, anoint our hearts, and anoint my words, Father, that we could get all that you have for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody have a praise or prayer that we want to bring up? Praise or prayer? Praise or prayer? Praise or prayer? Okay, well, if you do, just let me know. We're going to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to hop right in here. Okay. Oh, we're just turning to our scripture. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, you guys are going to know this scripture by heart. And his gifts were varied. Maybe not in the Amplified, it's rather wordy, but you'll get the gist of it. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles. An apostle is a sent one. And in today's church, a lot of these, some of these here, the prophet, a lot of people think prophets aren't anymore. Apostles, they don't hear, you know, Apostle Paul was one thing, but we don't have apostles in the church today. But we do, anyone that is a modern day missionary that is sent, God has put on their heart a certain country or nation of people. Bob Dunphy in Burkina Faso, they are apostles to that particular nation. You know, maybe not to the whole world, but they're an apostle to that group. So an apostle is a sent one, someone that God sends with some, a message, with a vision.
Excuse me, I can sit over there so you don't...
You can sit. I can turn my head. It's actually a good exercise. So we are to be perfected. In verse 12 it says, his intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, that's us, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church, that it might develop till we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood or womanhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ, and the completeness that is found in him. So we are to be perfected. Are you the same as you were 5 years ago? Are you the same person? You shouldn't be, because we're constantly, we should be growing. And, you know, last year, 5 years ago, and you can usually, that's okay, I don't think I turned mine off either. Candace, don't call me. So, do we need to grow up? We do need to grow up. God expects us to grow up. And it doesn't just happen. In the physical, as long as we get a bottle, or we get some cereal, or we get, even in the countries where they may only have one meal a day, as long as they're getting some nourishment, and they don't have debilitating diseases that are knocking them off, as long as you have something to help you to grow, you grow. I mean, it's just a matter of course. You don't have to, like with a flower, I do not have a green thumb where it comes to flowers. I kill them off. And my husband loves flowers, but plants outside. I do real good with vegetables because the sun is out there, the rain is out there, and I don't have to remember all the time. But inside, I do not always remember, and so they don't get what they need to grow. But outside, you know, the sun's there. Our bodies, with a baby, all you have to do is basic needs, and they grow. But it's not that way with our spiritual self. We have to feed and nourish. So just because you were born again 40 years ago, and it hit me this morning, that was me. Sounds like a long time, doesn't it? Just because you were born again 40 years ago does not mean you automatically grow. So we need to be fed properly to grow. We need to be nourished in the words of faith. I was so blessed. God took us, and he actually directed our steps. He knew our hearts. You know, we were just young, married. He knew our hearts. Pat joined the Navy. We had three choices, and of course, I'm choosing Hawaii. You know, that, I mean, yeah, that was my 16-year-old dream, is to go to Hawaii and live there with a maid, and I didn't think anything further than that because I was 16. But that was my thing, so I'm like, oh, I must still want to go to Hawaii. Now I'm in my, at that time I was like 24, and so I'm thinking Hawaii, and then Washington State. Oh, it's, you know, Western USA, that's beautiful country up there, right by the sea, because he's in submarine, so we have to be by the sea. And last choice was New York, because New York is landlocked. I mean, as far as where we were going to be, we were smack in the middle of upstate New York. And so what did we get? We got New York. But God knew that there was a Word of Faith church there that we needed to become a part of for 5 years. We got in there and we got ingrained in the Word, and we grew. And we grew. Even though Pat, you know, he was there, and then the Navy sent him to California, then he was over in Connecticut, but we stayed in New York because we had our roots down in the church, and Pat was moving rather than uproot our children who were in school by that time. We stayed there and we got grounded. And so we need to be fed properly words of faith that are going to help us to grow, not Reader's Digest stories, as funny as they can be, and as they may even be morally nice to hear, but they don't feed you. So they need to be anointed words. And this was really an indictment in the one church we pastored years ago, a small country church. We only pastored there for 2 years. But about a year into it, there's a 70-some-year-old man in the choir that got born again on a Sunday morning. And his words were the indictment. He said, I've been going to this church since I was a little boy, and I never heard this. I never heard the words that you just spoke that told me I needed to be born again. See, even my boss, she'll go, you know, we had a conversation the other day about karma. She believes in karma. And she just thinks, and she's a good person, you know. She's a good person and does good things for helping people, you know. But it's not enough. We need to have Jesus Christ, and we need to grow to His measure and stature. We need spiritual food. If we feed our spirits on a regular basis, and then we do what we learn, we obey. So we eat and we do. We eat and we do. We eat and we do. And if you just eat, what happens? Yes, sit and get fat. And not only that, what you have eaten does not become a, well, it's a part of you in the physical because you get fat, but it doesn't become a part of you. You haven't grown into it. You've got it up here, like you're taking in the information, but you're not living it. You're not growing in it. And sometimes, I'm sure you all have been in a service, and the word is coming forth, and God's speaking to your heart, and God's speaking to your mind, and He's saying, you need to change this. You need to do this. I need you to walk in this. And then if we leave the church, and we don't do it, then we are not going to change. We're not going to grow. So you're hearing, you may know and be able to spout it out, but you can't, you're not growing. So we increase in head knowledge, but we don't grow. In the body of Christ, we need to do our part to make the difference. So say with me, I'm growing up in the Lord. I'm growing up in the Lord. You need to tell yourself, speak to yourself, I'm a doer, and I read the Word, I hear the Word, I eat the Word, and I'm a doer. I'm growing up in the Lord. I want to be that measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. I want to grow. I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be a child. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I think we went here last week. We're just going to touch a little bit on this. 13:11. This is... where it says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. Have you ever heard a child reason as to why they do stuff? Sometimes it's kind of silly, you know, because of the thoughts that go through their head. But when we grow up, then it says, now that I've become a man, I'm done with childish ways and I put them aside. And this is not just, you know, he's not just talking about in the physical. In fact, he is not talking about the physical. He's talking about the spiritual. But a lot of times we read this and we're like, yeah, yeah, when I was a child, I did childish things, you know. But he's going on with that and talking about the complete and the perfect when it comes. He's talking about spiritual things here. So as we grow up, there should be a change in us. There should be a change. One guy that we know very well, I couldn't stand to be around him when I first, he was a born-again Christian, but he hadn't grown anywhere. And so he was very full of himself. And now there's one thing to be confident in yourself, because God gives you the confidence. God gave you gifts, you know, and you know who you are in Christ. That's confidence. But when you are constantly touting yourself, that's bragging. And that's kind of hard to take. And it just says your self-esteem, you don't know who you are in Christ. Your self-esteem is, you know, so you have to build yourself up. But something happened to him over the years, and I don't mind. He's a good guy to be around. I've seen growth in his life. He is not that same guy anymore, because there's been growth. So we'll put behind the childish things, the pouting. Everything has to be about me. I'm doing things to get attention, that kind of a thing. Kids do that, you know. And when you grow up, you start thinking differently and you start talking differently. We can't get anything done in the kingdom of God if we have an entire church full of children. I mean, look at it. If you're trying to get a project done at home and you have no adults and you'll have only children, how much are you going to get done? Somebody has to be the grown-up here. And so we have different stages in the church, because there's people coming into the body at all times. And we are by no means, you know, calling down the babies. They're babies. That's a fact of life. There's going to be people coming in into the body of Christ at all times. That's good. But you should not stay babies. And we can't get the work of God done. So the sad thing is that most people that are babies and have been babies, they're content to stay that way. They may not have made a conscious decision and said that, but we have a lot of the no fault, it's not my fault. They put it on God, you know. God must want it this way. There's no responsibility on their part to grow at all. So we don't want to be that person. Sometimes it's an almost, you know, you ought to be glad I came. I got out of bed and I came. I drove in my car and I came to church and I'm sitting here and I'm listening. I'm a body in a pew. Well, you tell that to God. How would you like to? It's one thing to say it to one another. They ought to be glad I'm here. You say it to God. See what he does. See how that flies. You know, when you were a kid, does the excuses work with your mom? Not my mom. So the Bible says, what about enduring hardness as good soldiers? Count the cost. Pay the price. You know, Jesus did all the work on the cross as far as our freedom goes. But we have a responsibility to grow up. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. To walk in the fullness here and to be able to be a part of this body, a working part of this body. 2 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. It says, for that gospel I am suffering affliction and even wearing chains like a criminal, but the word of God is not chained or imprisoned. Therefore, and verse 10 is what I wanted you to see, therefore I am ready to persevere and stand my ground with patience and endure everything for the sake of the elect, God's chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with the reward of eternal glory. Is he looking out for number one? According to that verse? No, we have a commission on us. God told us to go into all the earth, and he's saying that he would endure, he's standing his ground with patience, he's enduring everything for the sake of God's chosen, The time is short. And so we saw with Jesus, you know, there's only a very small portion of what he said and what he did in this word. He did and said so much more. And it was chosen out of all that was said and done for all men and for all time, this word of God. So let's go to Luke chapter 2. We were there last week too, but we want to touch that again too. This is Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 42. This is Jesus going. They had gone up for the Passover feast, him and his parents and a lot of other Hebrew people. And it says, when he was 12 years old, they went up as was their custom. And when the feast was ended and as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem. Now his parents did not know that he had remained behind in Jerusalem. But supposing him to be in the caravan, they traveled on a day's journey, and then they looked for him up and down among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they failed to find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him up and down all the way. After 3 days, they found him in the court of the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished and overwhelmed with bewildered wonder at his intelligence and understanding and his replies to them. And when they, Joseph and Mary, saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Here your father and I have been anxiously looking for you, distressed and tormented." And he said to them, "How is it that you had to look for me? Didn't you know and see that it's necessary for me to be in my father's house and occupied about my father's business?" We talked, you know, about this story last week. Is there a change in his life? He didn't do that last year. They had to go up here every year. He didn't do this last year, but he did this year. This is the year we grow up. We need to have that declaration inside of us. This is the year we grow up. Now, we're not going to grow in 1 year, but we make the decision that we're going to grow. We're going to continue. We're going to grow. Many times, kids around this age, you hear about them having visitations. 12, 13, 14. They have a visitation from the Lord. They've been ministered to of the Lord. And if that's not nurtured, they'll walk away from it later. Just a few years later. It may be something powerful that came into their life, but there are things pulling on them. They're lured away. They're pulled away. There's a very real enemy out there that doesn't want them to have any parts of godly things. And he doesn't want any of us to come into that big, grown-up, mature Christian that's going to make an impact on the world. How much better Jesus is our example. How much better to start nurture that when you see that in your child or your grandchild or whatever person in the church, nurture that in them so that they are hungry to learn more and become skilled in the things of God. We really need to expect more of our children in the natural and not underestimate them, because we knew a 12-year-old boy years ago that led worship in children's church. He didn't just play the piano. He led worship. He was skilled and adept in that. Someone nurtured that in him. Someone helped him to become a minister to the Lord. Not long ago, not so very long ago, a boy of 15 or 16 would work all day to bring money into the family because they needed the income. You know, girls married and had kids at age 14. I think Pat's grandmother was 12 when she got married and started having, not his great-grandmother, married and started having children, and he said they said she grew up with them. You know, she was 12. You have to take, when you get married and you have children, you have all of a sudden your life is not about yourself anymore. It can't be. I mean, there's just nothing.
I was just going to comment on this passage here about Jesus at the age 12. I believe in the Jewish custom, it's in there like 12, 13, where they're considered entering into manhood.
The bar mitzvah, they have it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's significant that that's sure. being mentioned there.
It is, it is. And but we look at our 12-year-olds like, well, they're still young yet. They don't know. They can know. They can. We need to teach them the things of the Lord. They have the capacity to do. Jesus at age 12, it says here he was asking spiritual questions. He was growing, developing, and he was at the point where he was more interested in the Word of God because he wasn't out in that caravan. On that caravan on the way home, it was a long journey. So they didn't just walk. A 12-year-old is not going to just walk. They're going to play games as they go. I mean, there's this huge caravan of people. So they're going to be running back and forth. They're going to be doing whatever it takes to keep from being bored. And he was more interested in staying there and being about his father's work. Something changed from the year before. He grew. So look around here now at the people that are not here. And we're not doing the condemnation thing, but I want you to look and observe. You know, even on Sunday morning, where are they? There are a certain small number of people that actually have legit, I'm not saying legit as, you know, condemnation thing, but there are legitimate reasons sometimes why we're not here. But the others, the vast majority of them, just don't count it a priority to feed themselves. To come to church and be here. And not just feed ourselves. We need to get to the point in our growth where we're feeding ourselves at home too. And so we come into the church with some encouraging words, with something to minister to somebody else. It says that, you know, bring a verse, bring a song, bring something with you to minister to others. Others take priority. Sometimes the alarm goes off, and you're like, I mean, I've had it happen. I'm the pastor's wife. I've had it happen. The alarm goes off. It may be Youth Sunday, and the thought comes, because I don't have a responsibility up on the platform that day, and the thought may come, oh, I'll just, I could stay home. And immediately, I take the thought and say no, because they need to see that we count their ministry time precious too. They have stuff to offer. And so it's not a time that I can just take off. Sometimes shopping takes priority. It's funny to me how big of a priority. I mean, I like to shop and get goodbyes with the best of them. But Good Friday is like the mecca of, it's like people get up and ungodly hours.
or don't go to bed.
My daughter never does. Yeah, because we'll have Thanksgiving and then they'll play games till late in the night, and then she may take a half hour nap just because she knows it's going to be rough out there, and then they're off to stand in line at a store that doesn't open for 2 hours more, and they stand there and wait. I don't do that. But, you know, there are people that's their thing. That's like their mission, you know. And it's once a year. I'm not saying that you can't have things that you enjoy, that you have hobbies, and you have things that pique your interest. What I'm saying is that God should be the top priority, and that you should make sure that you are growing up. So, but you know when you're growing up, when you know when it's time that you can play and when it's time that you can't play. Because sometimes we have things on the agenda that we want to do, and God says, I need you to go over here, or I need you to minister to so-and-so. And if the thing that we have planned is so important to us that we say, can't do it, I got to go to lunch with girls, then clearly you have not grown up. Children have to be told, and they don't recognize the importance of grooming themselves. Have you ever had to tell a 7 or 8 year old, go brush your teeth, go take a bath and use soap, you know? Grooming, going to bed, doing chores, you know, all these things children have to be told. Even, I mean, we got into the habit, there were 7 of us children, we got into the habit, we knew that we couldn't play. There was no playing until our chores were done. And we had 5 or 6 things that we had to get done, and until they were done and checked by my mother, we couldn't go and play. We liked to go play ball. And there was no playing ball, and the kids down the street knew that until we were done our chores. And because kids have to be told that they need done. We need recreation, but not all the time, and not when it's time to do kingdom business. That kingdom business should be the spiritually mature Christian's priority. So, I know that you guys must be interested in growing because you're here today. Our priorities and our interests change, and we count getting the Word of God as important. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. This is our main text today. We're going to talk about Moses. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 23. Now this is our faith chapter that we look at all the people that God's put it in here so that we can see the people that acted and lived by faith. And in verse 23, talking about Moses, prompted by faith, Moses, after his birth, was kept concealed. Remember, he had to be hidden because all the baby boys were to be killed. So his parents hid him for 3 months by his parents because they saw how comely the child was. They were not overawed and terrified by the king's decree. They weren't afraid. When you're in faith, there may be a danger out there. There was a danger to Moses if he would ever been found that he would have been slaughtered. But they were not overawed and terrified by the king's decree because they were in faith. Aroused by faith, Moses, when he had grown to maturity and become great, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he was grown to maturity, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now think about it. In the palace, did he have major, major hard life there? Probably not. He was probably quite soft life in the palace. He had prestige. He had wealth. He didn't have to worry about where his next meal was coming from. Did you want to say something? Okay. Something changed in him. Because it says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter when he had grown to maturity. Because he preferred, in verse 25, he preferred to share the oppression, suffer the hardships, and bear the shame of the people of God rather than to have the fleeting enjoyment of a sinful life. All of a sudden, he realized and he looked at his life the way it was. He saw the Hebrews, which was his heritage, in slavery. Now, they had been in slavery long before he came along, but he didn't see it, or he chose not to see it. Children don't always see things that grown-ups see. And so something changed in him and touched his heart. And he realized that to be living this, he could have stayed in the palace. Nothing changed. But he looked down the road in verse 26. He considered the contempt and abuse and shame born for the Christ the Messiah who was to come to be of a greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt. For he looked forward and away to the reward, the recompense. Motivated by faith, he left Egypt behind him, being unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king. He never flinched, but held staunchly to his purpose and endured steadfastly as one who gazed on him who is invisible. You know what he gave up when he gave up the palace and being this favored person? It looked like something to be desired, but it says that he looked past that and saw that that was pleasures of sin for a while. And he looked down the road. When you cater to childish things all week and say you don't give anything into the growth of your spiritual being, how much do you think that you're going to have to contribute when it's time for service in here? You're not going to have anything to contribute. You're going to need. You're going to need to be given into. And so, how much have you listened? How much have you studied? How much have you been obedient? In verse 25, he says, he preferred to share the oppression. He knew that the Hebrews were slaves. There was a time he didn't see this before. The Hebrews had been there all along as slaves, but now he saw it. He was willing to let it all go. Children don't see. He could see the priority and what was important. It happened when he grew up. When are people going to quit making other things the priority? Some people play video games all day long. Now, are video games bad? I'm saying this generally. There are some really bad ones out there. But to play a video game, you're not going to hell. And it's a diversion, you know. It's a hobby for some people. But if you play it all day long, and your mind is on this, or lack of mind is on this, you know, what do you have? What are you building into yourself? What are you sowing into yourself so that you can grow? Some are all about the food, you know, waiting for that next meal, what it's going to be. When I was a young mom, I had to. It was my job to make sure that my children had breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So I wake up in the morning and I would be going, okay, what are we going to give them for breakfast? Because I got to give them a nutritious meal. I was into nutrition. And so then it came lunchtime. I got to figure out what I'm going to make them for lunch. What are we going to do for dinner? What do I have in the cupboard for dinner? You know, because I was also going through a period of time where we were trusting God for provision for a while. So I'm looking and going, okay, what are we going to use here that I have that will give them a nutritious, we did a lot of cream chicken over biscuits and stuff that would make stuff stretch. But my mind was consumed with planning what I was going to make for dinner, breakfast, and lunch. And so it became my creative outlet because you don't go many places when you have 4 or 5 kids. You know, you just don't. Because then you have to deal with them by yourself. And I did a lot of drive-thrus when I was that way, that age. So it used to be that when we would take a trip actually away from home, my whole focus was, oh, we're going to be out over a meal. We get to go out. Somebody else is cooking. Where are we going to stop? And I'd read the billboards as we go past. You know, it was all about, oh, cool, we get to go out to eat. Now I'm like sick of going out to eat because I'd rather have homemade food. But that's just, you know, things change sometimes. But most of the time now, Pat will say, you know, where do you want to eat? And I'm like, honey, whatever you want, I can find something. I'm sure I can find something that I can eat, that I will eat. It's not, I say to him, it's just a meal. It's just food. I have to put food in my body. I want to put nutritious food into my body most of the time. And so it's not that big thing that it was when I was a young mom, because that was my job. I had to focus on, you know, what I was going to do and how I was going to do it. So some at work are all about, when's my first break coming? Looking forward to that first break. Get done that. Looking forward to lunch. Get done that. I'm looking forward to going home. Well, what happens in the middle? What happens to your life? Because you're constantly looking to the next thing and not living the life in the middle. So what happens when you do that is, are you listening? Are you paying attention to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit? Is your mind on Him? We can grow up and think of others. Our focus changes. Moses was used to deliver an entire nation. He wouldn't have been used like that if he hadn't grown up. If he'd have stayed in the palace, he wouldn't have been used. Now, would God still have done it? God intended for them to be delivered. But he couldn't have used. See, we want to be used. I mean, mature Christians want to be used of God and follow the plan for your life. It's okay for us to have hobbies and recreation and things that we enjoy. But it is not okay to do it all day and to miss church and not be available to be used of God because of it. You know, not the theory, I can't come to church on Wednesday night because I saw the previews for CSI and I don't want to miss it. Well, now we have what DVRs are called, where you can record the show coming up or whatever. Says that there's a little too much priority on. You realize it's a story. It's a fictional story. This is real life. So they have their place, just not first. Some things shouldn't have any place. They're childish. You know, when I was growing up, when I was very little, I had a Susie Homemaker oven, and I had told my mom that I wanted to have my own room. Now, that was really, really selfish, because at that time, I think there were six of us, maybe five of us, but we only had a four-bedroom house, and my parents had one of them. So I was like, I need to have my own room. I was maybe 12. And I need to have my own room. I had always shared a room with my sister, older sister, and she was a sweetheart. It's not like it was hard to share a room with her. She just liked to tell scary stories. But I wanted to be like I had my own apartment. And I don't know why my mom did it, but one summer she said, you can have your own. It must have been right before she had my brother, which was this sixth child. because then when he was born, I was not allowed to have my room anymore. But she gave me this room, and I asked for this. I had gotten this small refrigerator type deal. You know, you could put one of those ice things in to make it cold. I had my Susie Homemaker oven. Now, that was not when I was 12. That was a little before that. My Betsy Wetsy doll, you know. And those were important to me. Do you know I do not have a Betsy Wetsy doll now? And I don't have a Susie Homemaker oven. And I used to watch Honey West, and I wanted to be a detective when I grew up. And I would pretend that. I don't do that, because that was childish things. Those are things that are not a part of my life now, because I'm not a child anymore. So some things you'll get rid of all the way. Some things will find its place, you know, not God's place, but they'll find a place. We'll grow up. Other things occupy our time and our mind. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Anybody have anything to jump in with? You are more than welcome. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. See, all those things, even the detective thing, it was all about me, what I wanted to do, you know, when we played, and I was always the detective, you know, it's always about me. But when we grow up, it's about others. We look to help others. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Well, let's start in verse 2. Fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony and being of the same mind and one in purpose, having the same love, being in full accord and of one harmonious mind and intention. Do nothing from factional motives through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Do you think you're going to be a doormat if you do that? God takes care of his kids. So as we look to watching out for the ones around us and sowing into them, he takes care of you. He does. And if we're all doing this, then we're all looking out for one another. We're the body. We're in unity. It's a sign of growing up when we don't think on our own stuff and what we're going through all the time, or what another person can do for me. So in chapter 2, verse 20, if you skip on down, 19, start in verse 19. But I hope and trust in the Lord Jesus soon to send Timothy to you so that I may also be encouraged and cheered by learning news of you. For I have no one like him No one of so kindred a spirit who will be so genuinely interested in your welfare and devoted to your interests, for all the others seek to advance their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. You know, there's people in the body of Christ seeking to advance their own interests and not those of Jesus Christ. We live in a world of people obsessed with their own life. They're immature. And even in the body of Christ, we live in, I mean, you go down the road and you see it all the time where people cut, they're busy, intent on getting to work on time, and so they do what it takes to get there because they left late or whatever. They're intent not on, oh, I just cut him off. They're intent on getting what they want, doing what they want. They're not concerned with the other person. So in ministry, we need to have people here not just to get a word. Not that we don't get words from people, and it's not that God doesn't do that anymore, but we don't come seeking that because we're coming to seek for the other person. We're coming not to, oh, if we go today, then afterwards, after church, we're going to go to lunch. And that's what it's all about. You know what happens with that? Then all through the message, you're thinking, what am I going to get for lunch? You know, we have to understand that we need to mature and grow in this. Not be someone that always wants something, thinking about yourself. Babies do that, and they don't know any better. That's okay. If you're brand new in the body of Christ, you're going to come and you're going to draw and suck everything that you can out of a service or out of another person. Let me pick your brain. You know, we have people that call us on a regular basis that, you know, are constantly asking questions. That's okay. They're babies. That's okay. But we need then in time everyone to grow up and bring something. How can I help? That's a sign of growing up, that you're thinking outside of you, that you're looking to somebody else. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 24. Yeah, 24 and... Let's take in 23 because of what it says in the second part of that. Jesus turned away from Peter because Peter opened his mouth again and said some... It sounded spiritual, but he was one of those confession police. But anyway, Jesus turned away from Peter and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are in my way. You are an offense and a hindrance and a snare to me, for you are minding what partakes not of the nature and quality of God, but of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself. Disregard, lose sight of, forget himself and his own interests. Take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me. Conform wholly to my example in living and if need be in dying also." So here he's saying deny yourself. Disregard yourself and your own interests. Like I said, that's not being a doormat. That's a conscious decision to follow Christ, to grow up in God, because that's what we're here for. We're here to grow up in Him and do what He has called us to do. Romans 15, verse 3. It's our last scripture. Romans 15, verse 3. Evidently, we're going to be reading the verse before in every instance this week. So in verse 2, Well, let's start in verse 1, just 1 through 3. We who are strong in our convictions and of robust faith ought to bear with the failings and frailties and the tender scruples of the weak. We ought to help carry the doubts and the qualms of others and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us make it a practice to please and make happy his neighbor for his good and for his true welfare, to edify him, to strengthen him, build him up spiritually. For Christ did not please himself. He gave no thought to his own interests. But as it is written, the reproaches and abuses of those who reproached and abused you fell on me. If we're all doing this, if we're all building up and edifying those around us, what's the church look like? Strong?
Parents.
Looks like Jesus? What's the world see? Good things? They're going to see Jesus in us rather than the strife and the bickering and the party factions, you know, all the stuff that happens in churches because there's a bunch of babies. So we want to become grown up, mature in the Lord. Does anybody have any questions? Questions? That's why you're laughing at.
I just love the way you say things.
Oh, questions? Well, sometimes something said that, you know, might need a little clarification. So I just wanted to ask if there was anybody have anything or something to add, that sometimes when someone else is teaching, you think of something that I know Pat, I do it with Pat all the time, that he'll be teaching and then I, you know, we kind of tag team sometimes, and I'll have something to add to it that God gave you. You know, God gave you something good. So I just want to make opportunity for that. So are you ready to grow? Let's do it. Let's do it. Become who God has created us to be. Father, we just thank you for this time that we've had together. And we ask that you be with Evelyn as she is on this trip, Father, that you would bless her time, Father, that you would give her a nice time. And Father, let her be aware that you are with her, that you are in her. And Father, give her opportunities to share her faith with others as she is away, in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that as we go this week, you'll help us to become more and more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right.